Proverbs. And you can turn there if you'd like. It may make you feel good to be in the book of Proverbs. And I'm making that kind of a bit of a joke because I'm not going to stay in one spot. In fact, I'm going to bounce around so much today that unless you are a professional Sunday school sword driller, as Barry was mentioning from last week, there will be no hope for you. So you can just turn to Proverbs, lay it open, make yourself feel good, and then I will be looking at lots of verses from Proverbs as well as a bunch of other places, and we will move forward. In my preparation this week, I came across this little poem. I thought it was a fitting place to start. If your lips would keep from slips, five things observe with care, of whom you speak, to whom you speak, of how and when and where. I thought that was an appropriate little saying to keep in mind. Our mouths can be wonderfully burdensome to us at times. I'm just curious, have any of you ever had a slip-up with your mouth? Has your mouth ever gotten you into trouble? So some of you are admitting that you did in the past, and today you are lying. Some of you who didn't raise your hands. I'm curious, though, without getting into the gory details, just throw it out there for us in a word or a phrase. How did your mouth get you into trouble? Speaking in anger, someone said? Lying, someone said. Joanne? Too honest? Too honest. We'll talk about that a little bit more later. Yeah, Dennis? Swearing, yes. What did you say? Harshness? Harshness. Yeah, good. Molly's had her hand up. Not thinking before you speak. You're the only one that ever has that problem, I think, Molly. Lee, you got something? A smart aleck. Yes. Well, did you notice the title of the sermon today? Mouthwise. Yes. Sarcasm. Oof, yeah. Disrespect and unkindness. Randy said, asking a woman when she's due, when she's not due. Yeah, that's a no-no right there. Yeah, Lynn. Being critical, yes, okay. Yes. Vengeful words. There's a pretty good long list of ways that our mouths can get us in trouble, isn't there? A pretty good long list. Have you ever used your mouth for doing something good? For building someone up or speaking good words of truth? Share some of those with me. Encouragement, okay. Praise, someone said. Mentoring, okay, so to teach someone. Love, communicating love. Thankfulness is good. Yeah, Mike? A cheerful greeting. Yeah, good. That's right. Amariah said smiling. Showing kindness, good, yes. I didn't hear. Apologizing, good work, Joanne, yes. There's may well be as many positive ways to use our mouths as there are negatives, though we're slightly less exuberant about those ones this morning. Is that what it is? The reality is that the mouth has incredible power. According to Proverbs 18:21, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. You may want to just mark down the references as we go through, but if you want to try and keep with them, go for it. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it eat its fruit. The tongue has the incredible power to hurt people, or the mouth. You will probably notice today, as we look at these proverbs, that mouth, lips, tongue are used synonymously. They're all referring to the same idea. Incredible power to hurt with our mouths. Proverbs 18:6-7 says, "A fool's lips bring him strife, and his mouth invites a beating. A fool's mouth is his undoing, and his lips are a snare to his soul." Wow. Proverbs 21:23 says, "He who guards his mouth and his tongue keeps himself from calamity." And Proverbs 12:18 says, reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. You see, the tongue has also the incredible power to heal as well. Proverbs 16:24 says, pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Recognizing the incredible power of the mouth, it doesn't take a great leap for us to agree together that we would want to be wise with how we use our mouths. This morning we're going to look at four ways that we can use our mouths wisely. So if you're taking notes, give yourself four categories, four sections, four ways in which we can use our mouths wisely. When I was about 4 years old, my mother sent me to get something from the bathroom, from her bathroom, from under the sink actually. I don't even remember what it was that I was supposed to fetch for her. I do remember, however, what I saw under the sink, which was her hair cutting kit. And I lingered in the bathroom a little longer than I should have and gave myself a little trim. And then fetched what I was supposed to get and brought it to my mother. And she said to me, Matthew, what were you doing there under the sink? I said, I got the thing you were asking me to get you. She said, no, I can see you did something else. No, I didn't do anything else. Back in that day, I had long flowing hair, except for one spot. And of course, as a four-year-old, I didn't understand. But I stuck to my story until it became quite clear, once a mirror was produced, that I was lying. And then I received in my home the due penalty for lying, which was a spanking. Proverbs 12:19 says, truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment. Proverbs 12:22 says, the Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in men who are truthful. Proverbs 16:13 says, kings take pleasure in honest lips. They value a man who speaks the truth. 19:5 says, a false witness will not go unpunished, and he who pours out lies will not go free. Proverbs 21:6, a fortune made by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor and a deadly snare. 21:28, a false witness will perish, and whoever listens to him will be destroyed forever. 24:28, do not testify against your neighbor without cause, or use your lips to deceive. Proverbs 26:28, a lying tongue hates those it hurts, and a flattering mouth works ruin. In Proverbs 26:18-19, like a madman shooting firebrands or deadly arrows is a man who deceives his neighbor and says, I was only joking. In Proverbs 24:26, an honest answer is like a kiss on the lips. Almost makes you want to have people lie to you, doesn't it? An honest answer is like a kiss on the lips, supposed to, in other words, sweet and endearing honesty. Friends, if we desirest to be mouth wise, we will begin by having a truthful mouth. A truthful mouth. We take lying very seriously in our home as well. Perhaps because it was taken so very seriously in the home where I grew up, but perhaps because God's Word takes lying very seriously. Let me draw your attention to John chapter 8, verse 44. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. This is Jesus speaking. Jesus, who is known as the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus, who is understood and referenced as the truth in Scripture. He's speaking to some Pharisees, and he's saying, when you speak, because they're speaking lies, you're speaking the language of your father, his native tongue. The devil means deceiver. This is what he is known for. Yes, sometimes the devil is referred to as a thief, but his predominant title and this idea of him in Scripture is that he's the father of lies. The devil is not referred to as the father of thieves or the father of inappropriate sexual conduct. He's called the father of what? Lies. The father of lies. Sometimes when I encourage my children about lying and the importance of speaking the truth, I remind them that we want to be like Jesus. We want to be like the truth. We want to be followers of Jesus. Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, we sing. Who is the thee that we're referring to? Well, when we speak untruths with our mouths, we are speaking like the devil himself, who is the father of lies. We should never, ever be lying with the mouths that God gave us. One way to have a wise mouth, or to be mouth wise, is to have a truthful mouth. Have a truthful mouth. Once when introducing Thomas Edison at a dinner, the Toastmaster mentioned his many inventions. Dwelling at length on the talking machine, the aged inventor then rose to his feet, smiled, and said gently to his audience, "I thank the gentleman for his kind remarks, but I must insist upon a correction. For God is the one who invented the talking machine. I only invented the first one that can be shut off." I only invented the first one that can be shut off. Proverbs 10:19 says, "When words are many, sin is not absent. But he who holds his tongue is wise." When words are many, sin is not absent. The more words you say, the more likely you are to say a wrong one, is what is being shared with us. Proverbs 13:3 says, "He who guards his lips guards his life. But he who speaks rashly will come to ruin." To speak rashly is to speak without thinking. Proverbs 11:12-13. "A man who lacks judgment derides his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his tongue. A gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy man keeps a secret." In Proverbs 17:27-28, "A man of knowledge uses words with restraint, and a man of understanding is even-tempered." Listen to this. "Even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent, and the discerning if he holds his tongue." Reminds me of my favorite non-biblical proverb. "It's better to be silent and assumed a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt." Probably does, yeah. "Even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent, and the discerning if he holds his tongue." Proverbs 18:13, "He who answers before listening, that is his folly and his shame." I don't know about you, but as I'm reading this, I'm like, ding, ding, ding. I shared with somebody some of the Proverbs I was going to be sharing this morning during this past week, and they said they were really convicted. These are convicting. And I suspect that even the ones who use fewer words still sometimes choose the wrong ones. "He who answers before listening, that is his folly and his shame." Proverbs 20:19, "A gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid a man who talks too much." Thanks for still coming this morning. Although based upon this teaching, you maybe should stop. In Proverbs 29:20. Do you see a man who speaks in haste? There is more hope for a fool than for him. Sometimes I lay in bed at night, and God brings to my attention a replay of some of the circumstances of my day, and I get to hear from a third party perspective some of the things that I've said, and I cringe. I think, why did I say that? Oh, that must have sounded just awful. Oh, that sounds awful even now when I listen to it playing back again to me. If only I would have just kept my mouth shut. If only if I would have just stayed quiet. If only I was slow to speak. And then I pray, Father, forgive me. Forgive me for using the mouth that you have given to me. To speak foolishness, to hurt people. Father, forgive me and help me to speak only that which is useful for encouraging and building people up. Maybe you pray that prayer sometimes. In a sense, I'm asking God to wash my mouth out with soap, which, by the way, was used frequently in my home as a child. Did any of you ever have to have that circumstance where you had your mouth washed out with soap? I'm telling you, times have changed so much. Soap used to taste bad. Nowadays, they got all these fancy flavored soaps. They don't taste bad enough. Yeah. For those of you that didn't hear, my daughter just said that's not true. In James 1, verse 19, it says, my dear brothers, take note of this. It's kind of like when Jesus said, truly I say unto you, listen carefully to this. Take note of this, James says. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Friends, if we want to have wise mouths, if we want to be mouth wise, then we must have a slow mouth. That's the second way to be mouth wise, is to have a slow mouth. So have a truthful mouth and have a slow mouth. This past week, I was watching a hockey game. I've been doing that fairly frequently in the last couple of weeks because the playoffs are on. My apologies to those of you that don't care about hockey. The illustration will make perfect sense even if you don't. The commentators were talking about the Winnipeg Jets and some of the statistics and some of the players, and they were messing up. They were getting the names wrong and the statistics wrong, and I was getting frustrated and I was correcting them. And then all of a sudden Jaden said, sarcastically I might add, wow, Dad, you should have been a sports commentator. I just realized that in my arrogance, I'd made myself look like a fool. Be careful with the sarcasm to your father, by the way. You wouldn't want to correct somebody about their mouth problem by making a mistake with your mouth. Romans 3, 12 verse 3 says this, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Sober judgment. Don't be drunk in the way that you think about yourself, but rather with a sober-mindedness, understand who you are and where you're at in the chain of things. And my words clearly proclaimed a far greater place or significance in life than what was true of me. I was not using sober judgment in the words that I was using of myself. Proverbs 12:23 says, a prudent man keeps his knowledge to himself, but the heart of fools blurts out folly. Proverbs 18 verse 2 says, a fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but delights in airing his own opinions. Whew. Proverbs 25, 14. Like clouds and wind without rain is a man who boasts of the gifts he does not have. Proverbs 30, 32. If you have played the fool and exalted yourself, or if you have planned evil, clap your hand over your mouth. If you've played the fool, isn't that something? If you have played the fool and exalted yourself. Proverbs 27, 1 and 2. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. And get this. Let another praise you and not your own mouth. Someone else and not your own lips. I remember having this discussion with one of my sons distinctly. He was telling me all about the good things that he had done. And I love him, and I know he wants me to be impressed. But I know that he sometimes did that in other places. And I said to him, son, to keep the guilty clear, I won't use his name. Son, let other people say the good things about you. Don't say them yourself. Isn't it ridiculous? I should take my own advice, shouldn't I? Let another praise you and not your own mouth. Someone else and not your own lips. Friends, if we are to have wise mouths, then we must have humble mouths. We must have humble mouths. In 1 Peter 5, 5 and 6, it says, all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. That's pretty strong. If you're proud, guess what? God opposes you. Do you want God to be opposed to you? You're not unsure about this one. Okay. Think about it for a little longer and then answer me. Do you want God to be opposed to you? God opposes the proud. But, he gives grace to the humble. Who of you needs his grace? I do. I need his grace. Every day. He gives grace to the humble. And then the instruction then is, humble yourselves therefore under God's mighty hand, that he might lift you up in due time. When you're trumpeting your own abilities and skills and proclaiming your own goodness and greatness, you have God opposing you, which is not good. You're missing out on the grace that he gives to those who are humble. And you're also missing out on the fact that God is the one who lifts up. And in fact, in a way, boasts for the ones who are humble. Who would you rather have praising you, your mouth or God's? So friends, a third way for us to have wise mouths is to have a humble mouth. A truthful mouth, a slow mouth, and a humble mouth. The fourth is an uplifting mouth. As I mentioned to you, I've been watching a lot of hockey. Something that's been interesting to me has been watching the press conferences with the coach for the Winnipeg Jets. Doesn't matter who he is. I didn't really know much about him until the last few months that I've been watching hockey and listening to his press conferences and the way that he speaks and how he answers the questions. And I don't like everything about what he says, but for the most part, I'm impressed. Every time he speaks, he is well-spoken. He thinks carefully about what he's going to say, and he never, ever, ever once says a negative thing about anyone in his organization. Never once. Even when the bum was the one that missed the wide open net. He still carefully chooses his words. He carefully talks about the good things that have been happening. I don't believe that he's a Christian. I don't know if he is or not, but I would have any reason to believe that he is. But such a kind of almost shameful for me that I want to be more like him. I want to be someone who picks his words carefully and uses his words for building people up And I'm all for the Winnipeg Jets being built up and winning. But in the grand scheme of things, that's not particularly important. Building people up for the kingdom of God is significantly greater. Amen? Proverbs 4:24 says, "Put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk from your lips." Proverbs 10:11 says, "The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but violence overwhelms the mouth of the wicked." 10:21, "The lips of the righteous nourish many, but fools die for lack of judgment." Isn't that a great picture? To think of yourself, I hope, or desirous of, being someone who, when they speak, it nourishes the people who are listening. Isn't that kind of a vivid picture? It's to strengthen them, to feed them. Proverbs 10:32, "The lips of the righteous know what is fitting, but the mouth of the wicked only what is perverse." 12:6, "The words of the wicked lie in wait for blood, but the speech of the upright rescues them." Isn't that another picture to consider? Consider being one who, with your words, can rescue people. Friends, do we not have the words of life? The words that can truly rescue people? Proverbs 15:1. Probably some of you will know this one off by heart. "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. How many of you would benefit greatly from applying that one single verse in your relationships, starting with your spouse, including your children? Proverbs 16:23, "A wise man's heart guides his mouth, and his lips promote instruction." There's some great pictures here. To be one who uses their words to nourish people. To be one who uses their words to rescue people. To be one who uses their words to instruct, to teach people. Proverbs 25:11, "A word aptly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver." I don't know that that makes a lot of sense to us. I don't have any apples of gold or anywhere. The idea here is that they're precious. These are precious and beautiful. A word aptly spoken is precious and beautiful. That's what the author is saying. And then Proverbs 25:12, "Like an earring of gold or an ornament of fine gold is a wise man's rebuke to a listening ear." And sometimes even uplifting words are the ones that challenge someone and encourage them to change what they're doing. Did you know that you can have uplifting words that challenge someone to change and do something a bit differently? Those can be uplifting words as well. In fact, did you know that it's also possible to have truthful words that tear someone down and destroy them? That's where I was coming back to you, Joanne. Thanks for pointing that out to us. It is possible to hurt people with the truth. I struggle with that. I really love to tell the truth. Sometimes the best thing to do would be to just clap my hand over my mouth. Sometimes the truth isn't what's best in a circumstance. Now, you've got to be careful with how you apply that, but you understand what I'm saying, right? In many cases, it's not so much the truth that is the problem, but the way the truth is presented, right? It's the way the truth is presented. In Ephesians 4, I think it's about verse 16, it says, "And then speaking the truth in love, we will all grow up into him who is the head and become mature." Those who can speak the truth in love are the ones who are maturing, who are the wise ones. But this idea of having an uplifting mouth is our fourth point here. Ephesians 4:29 says this, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." What a great thing to use words only that will be beneficial to the people who are listening. Sometimes the benefit is also to encourage them to change. Also needs to be done in love. What I appreciate so very, very much standing here in front of you is that there are so many in our congregation who demonstrate these kinds of characteristics. I was spending some time this week thinking through and considering different people who have used words to uplift or encourage me. I don't know, is it risky to call out a few names? Yeah, I'm going to call out a few names. I'm sure many, many more of you would qualify as being encouragement, but these are the ones that God brought to my mind. Brad Erickson always gives words of encouragement and cheer when I interact with him. Marilyn Knutson is one who is a great encourager with her words. Kelly Michael always encourages me with his words. And Bernie Waugh does, and Nate Taylor does, and Byron Smith does, and Merritt does. And if I could just name all of you, that would probably be good, because most of you have encouraged me with your words. But you know, some of you are just, you're good at that, or maybe that's because you're working hard at that. Thank you for that testimony for us, that encouragement. Dave Lee encourages me with his words every Saturday morning. They come to me in text form when he texts me that he's praying for me. Do you know what can be really, really encouraging words to someone? Letting them know that you're praying for them. Simple, really short words can be texted with one thumb. I'm praying for you. Even those of you that struggled with dexterity can do that. I'm praying for you. We can use our words to encourage and uplift, and I thank the Lord that so many of you do that regularly. My prayer regularly, I can't say that it's every day, but my prayer frequently in my life comes from Psalm chapter 19, verse 14. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. I pray that regularly and consistently. May the words of my mouth, I don't always live up to this, but it is my prayer and my desire, and the meditations of my heart, because we've missed something here today. I don't know if you've noticed it. Nobody's mouth wags on without being connected to the heart of the person who owns the mouth. In other words, it's not really the mouth or the tongue or the lips that is the problem or the blessing. It's the heart. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you. Proverbs 16:23 says, a wise man's heart guides his mouth, and his lips promote instruction. A wise man's heart guides his mouth. Friends, you can pray and ask God to guard your lips, and you can work terribly hard and with great effort to only say good things. But if your heart is not right before God, that's going to be a hopeless, futile task. Because out of the heart, Matthew 15:17, Jesus says, don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and out the body? But the things that come out of the mouth are from the heart, and these make a man unclean. That's Matthew. In Luke, Jesus says, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. The evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. And so, friends, I want to encourage you, if you desire to have a wise mouth, if you want to be wise with your mouth, it must begin with your heart. And you go before God and you say, God, wash me clean. And we're not talking, you of course understand, we're not talking about the physical, actual beating organ called the heart, right? We're talking about the center of a person's being, that core deep down inside of them of who they really are. If that is good and pure and true, when you're not thinking, what words will slip out? Good and pure and true ones. So that's where the attention needs to be, friends. In our hearts. Proverbs 18:21 says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. You may remember, because I read that verse to begin this morning. The tongue has the power of life and death. You see, the mouth is incredibly powerful. It represents the heart. It's got incredible power to hurt, incredible power to heal. So we should use our mouths wisely. And we can do that by having truthful mouths, slow mouths, humble mouths, and uplifting mouths. And if we do those things, then we truly can be mouth wise. Would you pray with me in closing? Father, we thank you for your word that challenges us and speaks truth into us, encourages us at times, rebukes us at times, always guides us and directs us, never leaves us wondering. We thank you for how precious your word is to us. We thank you that your word is truth, that upon it we can build our lives. As the wise man who builds his house upon the rock. Father, we want to be wise in all the different ways of life. And this morning we ask that you would help us to be wise with our mouths, with our lips, with our tongues, that we would say things that would be truthful. Father, that we would be slow to speak. Lord, that we would be humble with our mouths, which demonstrate a humility of spirit before you when we recognize and understand that we have nothing to offer you. We are nothing. But we come before you and you give us everything. Forgive us that we would ever boast in anything that we claim to have done because we didn't do it, you did it. Father, help us to have humble mouths. And then, Lord, give us courage. Help us to think carefully. Give us pure hearts that out of our mouths might come the things that build people up, that might nourish them. Father, help us to have hearts and mouths that will rescue people. Father, that will teach them the truth of your word, that will give testimony to the praise of your glorious grace. Father, help us to be wise with our mouths. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.